couple of weeks ago, I went to a revival with a friend of ours. And it's been a long time. In fact, I don't think I've been in a Methodist church for years. And I wanted to see what they was all about and what they were teaching. And really and truly, I got a surprise in my life. Listen to their evangelists speak about power and about speaking in tongues and all that stuff. I thought the Methodists kind of reserved, you know. Now they have young people doing contemporary music, and it's almost like, they do a lot of jumping around and whatever they do. And I'm not into that myself. In fact, I can't jump too high anymore, but you know, that music don't appeal to me at all. But most of all, you know, they had a bunch of young people there. But most of all, what really disturbed me about the whole thing was I sat there and listened to that guy for about an hour. He preached for about an hour. And what really disturbed me was that I never, ever heard the gospel that saves anybody. Now, the last few revivals I've been to, whether it be a Baptist or Methodist or who it was, they never told the gospel to save anybody. And that's the God's truth. Now, I want to give you the verse that this guy used. And, of course, it's a famous one that everybody wants to hang on to, and it's Acts 2:38. In Acts 2:38, Peter is preaching to the nation of Israel. He's not preaching to the church. But everybody likes this verse. Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, of course, this guy had an NIV, I guess. I don't know, but it wasn't the King James Bible. And if you know anything about Bibles, you'll know that Acts 2:38 in the NIV don't say what it does in the King James Bible. They got to change it around so that it makes it sound like that really and truly that Peter's preaching the same thing that Paul does. And basically that's what it does. But my Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Now, I didn't get baptized for the remission of sins. Did you? Well, no, I didn't. It didn't happen that way. We got baptized by the Spirit into the body. And because you get ducked in water don't mean that your sins are remitted at all. Now, and here's what the guy said. Said, now see there's a salvation message. Number one, now this is a Methodist church if you can believe this. Said you got to repent of your sins and you got to be water baptized. And then you're going to get the Holy Ghost. Now, he said that. I sat there and listened to him. But like I said, not one time did he ever give the gospel or would save anybody. Now, that's the kind of stuff that's going on today. In these denominational churches, I don't care what denomination they are, that's what they're preaching. And they're teaching that stuff. And what I'm telling you is, that'll send you to hell. If you believe that, that'll send you to hell. Because Peter's gospel is not for you today. Can't be. If it was, then you could go in here and take any gospel and say it's the same thing. That's why that people have such a problem when we say that there's only one gospel today and Paul preached it because it was revealed to him from heaven. They want to say that there's one gospel throughout the whole Bible and everybody ought to be preaching that. Well, if you believe that there's only one gospel, then you got a problem, a big problem. Because Christ hadn't died in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and what gospel did he preach over there? Repent, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Hey, the kingdom of heaven is not at hand today. I got news for you. The king is not here. And it won't be here, and the kingdom won't be set up until the king comes back. So how could I preach that gospel? Jesus preached it. Peter preached it. John the Baptist preached it. How could I do that today? Well, the answer is I can't. I've got to preach that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, took our sins away, and rose again the third day for our justification. That's the only gospel that saves you today. Now, that gospel wasn't around when Peter was preaching here in Acts chapter 2. And if the church started in Acts chapter 2, you got a big problem. Let me read it to you. All right, turn to Acts chapter 1. Verse 5, I'll start out there. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now that's what John the Baptist preached in Matthew 3 and verse 11. Hold your place there in Acts. I want to turn back over to Matthew 3 and verse 11. Matthew 3 and verse 11. And it says, I indeed baptize, John talking here, with water unto repentance. So what come first there? Well, the water did. And unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, let me ask you a question. Who is going to be the baptizer? Who baptizes them with the Holy Ghost and with fire? Who does that? Christ does it. You see that? Jesus Christ is going to baptize them with the Holy Ghost, and he's going to baptize them with fire. Now, and remember that word with. I've taught this many, many times. It is not by, it is with. There's a big difference. Big difference. Verse 6, back in Acts chapter 1, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They wanted to know, was Christ going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You got to remember here that he has been raised from the dead just about 40 days. He's ready to go up. And they want to know if he's going to restore the kingdom to Israel. Look what else it said. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or the season which the Father has put in your own power. Now, Jesus didn't say, no, I'm not going to set it up. He didn't say, yes, I'm going to set it up. He said, it's not for you to know. Now, we know by reading the Bible that the kingdom was still being offered until Acts chapter 7, until the nation of Israel blasphemed the Holy Ghost. When they stoned Stephen, they blasphemed the Holy Ghost and they were blinded and they were cut off completely. They fell. Now, look at verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Question. Who is he talking to? Is he talking to the church? Who's he talking to here? Well, who was it that asked him, will at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Who's he talking to? He's talking to the 11 apostles at that time. He's not talking to you. If you've ever been in a Baptist church, you're going to hear verse 8 taught to you every Sunday. And you know what they say. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the utmost part of the earth. Now what they're going to tell you is that, you see there, what is it come first? Jerusalem. Well, that's Bonor. And all Judea. Well, see, that's Monroe County. And in Samaria, well, they move on up in Blount County. That's not to you, people. If that's two of you, then what are you doing sitting here? If you got power after the Holy Ghost came, then what in God's name are you doing sitting in a church? I don't know. I have no idea. But what I wanted to get to is, who's going to receive power? Is it you? No, it's the 12 apostles are going to receive power. What in the world could Peter do that nobody on the earth today can do? What could he do?
Heal.
He could heal. He could raise the dead. But he could. You know why the Catholic Church wants Peter to be their first pope? It's very simple. God told Peter over in the book of Matthew that he could forgive sin. Now that's a big power right there. Peter could forgive your sins. He had that power. But what I'm telling you is that if you make the church start in Acts chapter 2, like everybody does, but just a few simple, I don't know what you'd call us, that believe that the church started in Acts chapter 9 with the Apostle Paul. Everybody else believes that all the denominational churches believe that the church started in Acts 2. Why do they want to believe that? Well, I just read it to you. After the Holy Ghost came, you're going to get power, right? That's what it says. So when did the Holy Ghost come? Well, it came in Acts chapter 2. See, everybody wants that power. They want to be able to rub oil on your head and make you well. What do you think Benny Hinn would give for that power? He's a lying, no good hypocrite. Ain't no doubt about it. I'll give you a clue. All them TV preachers that tell you that junk, they're a bunch of hypocrites too. You know where they're going to go? They're going to split hell wide open where they're going to go. Their only message is, well, now you better send your money into me. You know the Bible says to go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? Where did it say that at? Matthew chapter 28. And if you send your money into me, I'm going to be sure that the whole world hears it. In fact, if you send enough money in, we're going to get on satellite TV. And it's going to go into all the world. And guess what? When it does, the end will come. You ever hear that? Well, I got news for you. That gospel that they're preaching, it doesn't matter if it went into the deepest part of Africa today. It wouldn't save nobody. And the end's not going to come until the church, the body of Christ, is complete. But you see what this says? Now this guy that I'm talking about, this evangelist, he said, if you repent and be baptized and get the gift of the Holy Ghost, well then you're going to have power, because it said that. Said you could speak in tongues. I just couldn't believe that come out of a Methodist preacher's mouth. Now, there's the whole thing. Who's a baptizer? In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, by the way, Who's doing the baptizing? Jesus Christ is going to baptize them with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you read Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were, verse 1, and they were all with one accord in one place. Have you ever been in one place? Oh, hush up, Heidi. Have you ever been in one place where everybody was in accord, if there's more than one person in there with you? Why, you just couldn't agree on nothing. But see, here you got 120 people that's in a room and they're in one accord. And it has nothing to do with any the Gentiles. These all come to the day of Pentecost. What is the day of Pentecost? The day of Pentecost is a Jewish feast day. And if you was there, they'd kick you out. You couldn't even get in the door. Look what else it says. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each one of them, and they all were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See there? When you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, then you got power to speak in tongues. See, that's what they preach. I'll give you a clue. In the age of grace, you don't ever get baptized with the Holy Ghost. You might think you are, but you don't. Jesus Christ doing the baptizing, He sent the Holy Ghost to fill that room, and it set upon each one of them, and they spake with tongues. And if you want to get in a good conversation, it's not a bunch of jabbering. Not that at all. Tongues in the Bible are what? Other languages. There was people there from every nation. There were Jews there from every nation come to the day of Pentecost, their feast day. And they could understand everybody from every nation. They could understand their language. And that was tongues. God gave them a gift of understanding, discernment of tongues. It wasn't a bunch of jabbering like they've got today, where all the women start shouting and raising their hands and jabbering some crazy stuff. It's not that at all. That's not tongues, and you all know that. I went to a Pentecostal meeting one day, and it's been a few years ago. And I sat and I wanted to find out what was going on. And a woman in front of me, she jumped up and started raising her hands. And I swear, for a solid hour, that woman jumped straight up and down all the time. For a solid hour, she was doing that. But you know what? That preacher never opened his Bible, never read one word out of it. And they sung songs, and they got them built up in the Spirit, and they started doing that crazy stuff. See, that's not worshiping God. Started jumping around, speaking some kind of gibberish, kind of like these songs we hear today. What do they call them things? Rap. That's exactly what it sounds like. Ain't nobody can understand it. So we got rap tongue speakers. But I'm telling you that you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost. If you were, now these 120 guys here was in that upper room, God poured the Spirit out upon them and they were filled with it. But when they walked out of that room, guess what? That spirit can leave them. Are you not thankful you're living in the age of grace today when you're baptized by one spirit into one body and you become a member of that body in particular and you get sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption? See, those guys weren't sealed. You don't find nowhere in that Bible till you get to Paul's writing that anybody got sealed anywhere. Now, you can believe what you want to about Old Testament and Book of Acts, but none of them guys were sealed with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized with it. But when they come out of that upper room, they had the power to raise the dead. Ain't nobody today got that power. God's not doing that today. The Jews require a sign. The Gentiles seek after wisdom. We're not part of that. We are in the body of Christ. We're in the church today. And you gotta get away from this type of stuff. And what I'm telling you is today, when I hear that stuff, my blood runs pretty fast, as old as I am. That guy stood up and said, you gotta repent and you gotta be baptized for the remission of sin, and then you can get the gift of the Holy Ghost. What a lie. Telling them people that was to them. By the way, let me throw this at you. If you can repent of all your sins, Jesus Christ died in vain. You know that? What you need Him for if you can get righteous in your own self? You don't need Him. He died in vain. But that's what they holler. They holler, repent. Get baptized. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, so if the church started in Acts chapter 2 like everybody's going to tell you it did, you know what you got? You got power to raise the dead. So that's what He gave them. They got baptized with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 2, that's what happened. But we're not in Acts chapter 2. We are in Acts chapter 9, where the body of Christ started with the Apostle Paul, and God gave him that one message to preach to everybody. Never had been done before. He preached one message, that Christ had died for your sins. That's what he preached. And there's no other gospel going to save you today. Now, in the book of Acts, you can look there. I'll just read you one example here. Old Peter, when he walked down the street, when they heard old Peter was coming to town, what did they do? They brought all the sick people and they were lined the streets. And old Peter walked down the street. Now see, this is a power that people want today. When Peter walked down the street, how many people got healed that day? Every single one of them did. And I guarantee you, when you're watching those preachers on TV, they come up there and they're blind, they say, That one example I was telling you, this preacher down in Lenore City said that he had healed this woman. She was blind, but now she can see. But guess what she had on? Her glasses. Had on her glasses. Well, she couldn't see a bit more than nothing unless she took them glasses away from her. But that guy up there hollering that she was blind and now she can see. And I've told you all this before. We used to stop over in Maryville and pick up a blind couple. And they went to one of these healing meetings. And they went forward at the end of the service. And the whole church come up and laid hands on them. The preacher rubbed them with oil. And they prayed for about an hour. And all that stuff that went on during that time. And guess what they went out of that building? Did it have her sight? No, it didn't have her sight. They were still blind. And you know what that preacher told them? You don't have enough faith. I heard an example of the faith thing. Preachers preach this. You can say to that mountain, be removed, and I shall be removed. Have you ever seen that mountain removed? Is it still sitting in the same place when you got born and grew up around here? Was it still there? Is it still there today? Well, what does that tell you? Number one, it tells me that nobody's got enough faith to move that mountain. Number two thing that tells me that God's not doing that today. You can't tell me if you have enough faith you can move that mountain. Because you don't have. You can ask the Lord to do a lot of things. You say, oh, well, brother, you ain't got enough faith for that. That's why it didn't happen. You hear the old thing, ask anything in my name, I'll do it. John 14:14. That's what it says. And that stuff's going on all the time. You know what happens to people when they believe that stuff? When they try God out, just like that blind couple I was telling you about? You know what happened to that people? They get completely destroyed because they believe that God denied them sight because they didn't have enough faith to get healed. God's not doing that today. He's not doing that today. We suffer today in the body. The body gets old and it's going to die. That's where we're at today. That's what God's doing today. He's letting us suffer. But Paul says the light affliction we have today is nothing compared to the glory that we're going to get one day. You know, that's what God's doing today. One of these days, He's going to completely heal me. But He's not going to do it until this body lays down. Then I'm going to get a brand new one. That's how He's going to heal me. I'm going to have diabetes until I die, and it'll probably kill me. And the only way I will be healed is to get a new body. So, don't get the idea, because the Bible says, when you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, you're going to receive power. Because you don't even get baptized with the Holy Ghost. So how in the world are you going to receive power? No, we're living in the age of grace, where God does everything through His grace, the grace of God. And that's where we're at today. How many minutes have I got there? One. One salutation and I'm done.